Greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Weinihau. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Salam. Shalom. Peace. It is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Step right up, step right up. It's the cruelest show on earth. Yes, the circus has invaded Southern California. No one's safe, huh? Ringling Brothers, one more performance. Well, one starting right now at the LA Sports Arena, then one more today at 5:30 in the afternoon, and then on to Anaheim, July 28th through August 8th, and San Diego, August 11th through the 15th. Step right up. It's the cruelest show on earth. The animals here have been brutally beaten for your entertainment. And every ticket you buy supports animal abuse and animal exploitation. Step right up. Step right up. The ticket you buy helps buy another bull hook. The big wooden stick with the sharp metal hook at the end of it. The loving training tool used to convince elephants to stand on their heads like they do naturally in the wild. Why, it was Henry Ringling North who said, quote, "Animals work from fear," end quote. And what would it take to make you jump through a hoop of fire? In nature, bears do not ride bicycles. Tigers do not hop on their rear legs. In addition to the bull hooks, you have training tools which include whips and muzzles and electric prods. And caustic agents have been known to be applied to front paws so that animals stand on hind legs. And, oh, you know that very unattractive hair that mammals grow, like elephants? That's often removed by blowtorch. Animals are deprived of food and water so that they don't defecate or urinate at showtime. Doesn't make for a very good show. They're deprived of space, deprived of exercise, forced to live unnatural lives, performing night after night, 48 to 50 weeks per year. While Ringling Brothers claims its elephants don't come from the wild, the recognized reference on the subject, the Asian Elephant Regional Stud Book, says that the majority of Ringling's elephant slaves are captured in the wild, where they would be social creatures who would roam 30 miles each day with family instead of being chained stationary by the leg to sway back and forth in bored neurosis. Ooh, hope your child isn't trampled by her. Hopefully not the next performance, you know, when you just never know when the elephants go berserk. You see it every year, huh? Hopefully it's not the next performance. Hopefully it's your child that's not trampled. If she does go berserk, who could blame her? The elephant captured living an unnatural life like that. Hopefully your child doesn't get tuberculosis from her, which is also a possibility. Well, hold on to your tickets. Listen for your ticket number on it because, it's a special contest today. Today, if your number is called off your ticket, you get to beat the animals. Wouldn't that be fun, huh? Boletos, boletos. Compre boletos para un show de crueldad, tortura. So as you pay for your tickets to the circus, let's remember one who paid dearly with his life. That's Clyde. Clyde, who died last week under Ringling Brothers' care, or was it neglect? The king of beasts, the king of the jungle, Clyde the lion, died in his transport cage last week in a poorly ventilated boxcar while the circus was traveling from Phoenix to Fresno. This according to a whistleblower. The circus was crossing the Mojave Desert where temperatures reached at least 100 degrees. I'll tell you, I came across the desert with a sunroof on a T-bird a few years ago, and I was putting ice on my head all the way across there. I could imagine how these animals suffered. It was said that Clyde was without water. Clyde died of heat stroke and dehydration on a scorching 3-day journey. Lions in the wild normally roam an area of 75 to 2,000 square miles, and a circus cage is about 4 feet by 5 feet. So it's Sunday Mass for Clyde. Sunday Mass, if you come out to protest again today, Ringling Brothers, another performance, 5:30 this afternoon. For the San Diego performances, I expect to be there for a Sunday Mass. Sunday Mass for Clyde, who died when the circus is in San Diego. And you know, for all these many years, the circus has kept us away from the ticket booth in San Diego, the arena there, keeping us way off on the sidewalk, so we can't talk to circus patrons, we can't hand them a flyer. But I think in honor of Clyde, maybe this year we do walk to the ticket booth under threat of arrest, under threat of the Constitution being trampled in that arrest. But I think we need to be there and tell people what happens to these animals, like poor Clyde, the king of the jungle, who had to die of dehydration, who didn't have water. You know, so I'll do it for Clyde that Sunday. I'll do it for the others who suffer. No, it won't be some public relations stunt just because...
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
It's just that somebody has to stand up for Clyde and all the other slaves in the circus. There's no business like animal exploitation show business, and that business really has no business here, huh, in Southern California? Maybe we'll have Sunday Mass for Clyde in San Diego when the circus is in town in San Diego, and then no more circus in San Diego with animals. Cities all around the country are banning the circus. Why not for Clyde, huh? Well, coming up later in the hour, Ringling Brothers Southern California schedule again so that you can go out and pay respects to the lion, Clyde, who died, and let others know that if they love animals, they shouldn't be attending a circus. Tell them to come to an event where no animals were harmed in the production. For example, you can visit the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Queue. That's right. You can come out there and just have a great time knowing no animals were harmed, even though we are veggie queuing. We're going to fire up the barbecue, and we're going to have chili cheeseburgers, but all vegan. All vegan, thanks to Follow Your Heart Market and Cafe in Canoga Park. And we'll be melting the vegan gourmet cheese alternative on top of it, the cheddar variety. It will be delicious. We have lots of great food coming that day. That's this Saturday. So I hope that you're making plans to come out this Saturday. It's 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., 2210 Lincoln Boulevard at Victoria. That's one block north of Venice Boulevard. That's the Venice United Methodist Church there. And you can just head out the 10 freeway, the 10 west toward Santa Monica. You can exit Lincoln, make a left, and head on down to 2210 Lincoln Boulevard. It'll be on the left side of the street. Or if you're heading Venice Boulevard west, just make a right turn when you get to Lincoln, and it'll be about a block on your right side there. And I'll fill you in later in the hour on all of the festivities happening at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Queue. All the great speakers will be there, great music, great food, and we have some very important screenings going on also. We have the new PETA video, Chew on This, and we also have the full-length documentary. The full-length documentary, Peaceable Kingdom. And we'll be talking to the producers of Peaceable Kingdom. They also gave us The Witness. We'll be talking to James Levesque and Jenny Stein. Coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, as we listen to the music of Sar Amiel, who will be performing this coming Saturday at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Queue. Hope to see you there. Suggest a donation, only $10. Plenty of free parking, the food is included, and we'll have music like this from Sar Amiel.
the summer sun warms my soul, and I want to gleam in your smiling eyes.
Going vegan just got easier. Presenting Follow Your Heart Chicken Free Chicken. Now at natural food stores everywhere. All the taste, none of the bird. Vegan, low fat, low sodium, cholesterol free, chicken free chicken from Follow Your Heart. 11 grams of protein per 2.5 ounce serving. Ready to serve, delicious hot or cold, like on a sandwich with new organic veggies. You are what you eat. Don't be chicken. Try chicken free chicken. Get some at Follow Your Heart on Sherman Way, a block and a half east of Topanga, Canoga Park, and natural food stores everywhere.
Oh, what was great, it was in the San Francisco Chronicle. There was an article headline, Taster's Choice, Local Producer, Creams, Rice, Milk Competitors. New drink rice from Lundberg Family Farms comes in first, light years ahead of all others in a blind taste test by five renowned Bay Area executive chefs, restaurant owners, food critics, and authors. Enriched organic drink rice from Lundberg Family Farms. Placed first, it was praised. It wasn't overly sweet. It had a slight creaminess. It was delicious. The distant second place finisher was called watery. Third place, watery, boring. Fourth place was said to have a fake vanilla flavor. Others scored too low to even rate. But now you can taste test the winner. Drink rice. No surprise, it's from Lundberg Family Farms. Since 1937, the name you've known for organic and specialty rice varieties and products, it's Lundberg Family Farms.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
And that it does, and you don't find it on the menu at the wonderful Vegetable Delight Chinese Restaurant, 17823 Chatsworth Street in Granada Hills. And Vegetable Delight will be represented. We will have food from Vegetable Delight at our wonderful Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Queue coming up this coming Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. But make sure you visit Vegetable Delight weekdays. They have lunch specials. There are 150 menu items at Vegetable Delight, and you will find that over the centuries, Buddhist monks have perfected the art of vegetarian cooking and the replication and textures and flavors of meat to where you sacrifice nothing and you sacrifice no one. So, you know, your chicken is chicken-free like it should be, made of soy and mushrooms and taro root and wonderful vegetables. And you can book your special events and parties, your group outings, especially welcome on weekends at Vegetable Delight Restaurant, 17823 Chatsworth Street. Head on over there tonight. You'll love it. Dinner is great. 17823 Chatsworth Street, Granada Hills, 818-360-3997. That's Vegetable Delight.
Mad cow, bird flu. Which one is killing you?
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals asks you to consider that animals are not ours to eat, wear, or exploit for experimentation or entertainment. They are individuals with feelings and interests, and they deserve our respect. For more information, visit PETA.org, PETA.org, and look for links to PETA's other websites to find out how you can end suffering on meat, dairy, and fur factory farms, in laboratories, in circuses, and wherever else animals are abused. Thank you. On behalf of PETA, that's PETA.org. And that's music off of Sar Amiel CD. Sar Amiel playing this coming Saturday, Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Queue. 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. 2210 Lincoln Boulevard at Victoria, one block north of Venice Boulevard. I remind you that this show is supported by advertising for vegan and cruelty-free products only and tax-deductible donations. We did have a $20 donation come in this week, which is greatly appreciated. Gosh, if all listeners sent in $20, we could have this show on cities all over the country. Right now, we're in Los Angeles and San Diego and always looking to expand. We're going to have a great event this coming Saturday, so I hope you'll attend. James Levesque and Jenny Stein are the producers of the main screening that we have going this coming Saturday. It's called Peaceable Kingdom. They're with Tribe of Heart. Jane Goodall said of this movie that we are going to see this Saturday, quote, "Peaceable Kingdom is a masterpiece. I hope it inspires growing numbers of people to support this desperately important cause." And James and Jenny gave us The Witness before, award-winning movie. Welcome back to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. James and Jenny, how are you? Are they there? Hello?
James? Yeah.
Yes, you're there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, we're here. Okay. I guess we...
great to be back.
Great to have you back, yeah. So great to press the right buttons. Yeah, okay. So, well, we have quite a film this time from you, the Peaceable Kingdom, which I've seen a couple of times, and stock in Kleenex has gone up. I shouldn't say that. It's a very moving movie. So how did this one come about?
Well, basically, Peaceable Kingdom is the second volume of a four-part anthology that we're working on that is exploring the new ethics of the human-animal relationship. So it's just an extension of the original vision of the project. The Witness explored one person's awakening to compassion for animals, and then Peaceable Kingdom begins to explore the concept of a whole community of people who have come from various different life experiences to reconsider their relationship to animals. And in this film, we're focusing, to a large extent, on the awakenings of people who actually grew up within the culture of animal agriculture, who came to reconsider that the use of animals for human purposes.
It's very touching to see people get back in touch with their feelings.
It really is, and it's very interesting because the film tells the story of people who, at different stages of their lives, realize that their innate connection with the animals that they are caring for in the process of raising them for various agricultural purposes, when they realize that original connection, which their culture and their community basically, you know, has to initiate them into stepping back from or disconnecting from at certain points, like when an animal has to be slaughtered or when an animal has to be have some, you know, painful procedure like dehorning, carried out on them. When people realize that original connection is actually the real connection, is actually right, it's very, very powerful. And what happens is that in telling that story amongst the audience, the very same thing is going on. So people in the audience are sitting there and realizing, you know, when I was a little kid, I had this feeling of affection and identification with animals, and that's really who I am. That's really what feels right to me. And, you know, why am I participating in a system that's hurting them so much?
And it's really dramatic when we see this change in animal farmers. I mean, you have Howard Lyman, you have Harold Brown. He's fascinating to watch in this movie, right? Is Farmer Harold Brown, right?
That's correct. Yeah? Uh-huh. That's correct. Harold Brown comes from a fifth-generation family farm, and he was one of those many farm kids who really connected and bonded with the animals. You know, in the process of farm life, there's a lot of situations that come up. Animals become sick, they become injured, they have special needs. And just like any other situation where one is nurturing another, there's a connection. And Harold felt that connection, I think, particularly deeply, so it was particularly painful for him as he grew up when he was initiated into some of the realities of animal agriculture, you know, participating in slaughter, animals being shipped off to an unknown fate to a stockyard, and performing these very painful procedures on the animals, who completely trust those who are caring for them.
So you're giving us a series of films, of documentaries that that make it okay for us to be in touch with our sensitive feelings toward animals. It's great to see that there are others also. And it is always great to see the reversal. Again, you have Howard Lyman, who is fourth generation Montana cattle rancher, too. So very famous Howard Lyman, who was on Oprah Winfrey.
Right. Howard's story is, I think, particularly important because he had the great courage to make a change at a stage in life where he was fully invested in the existing system, you know, had a multi-million dollar corporate agricultural empire. And when he awakened in the midst of, you know, the height of his success, really, in converting his family's organic family farm into this big agribusiness, he had the courage to just realize that what he was doing was actually going against everything he believed in and that he had to change course. And he's since spent, you know, over nearly 25 years of his life educating people about factory farming and working, you know, to raise a wake-up call about this disaster that's happening out there.
Mm-hmm. And we also learn a lot about Farm Sanctuary in this documentary.
Right. Farm Sanctuary provided the setting for the film. Most of the footage that we shot was done at Farm Sanctuary, and one of the most important contributions of Farm Sanctuary for our purposes in this film is that because there are animals living there who are not afraid of human beings, who are cared for with compassion, we're able to portray for, you know, a huge number of people who these animals are when they're not living in a state of fear, when they're not, you know, constantly being put upon or confined or deprived of their natural instincts. You know, one of the things that I've often tell audiences when we screen the film is that, you know, if your sense of who human beings were came from, you know, meeting people at a maximum security prison, you know, and, you know, all of the atrocities and deprivations and extremities that occur in those kind of situations, you might not come away with a very good opinion of who human beings are. And if all we did was meet animals at factory farms and we saw them in these degraded, horrifying, painful conditions, you know, it doesn't bring out the best of anybody. And so sanctuaries demonstrate to the whole world that these animals, when they're given a chance to live in some kind of conditions close to their natural environment and express their natural instincts, that they are loving, they're affiliative, and that they have a great deal more to offer us as the, you know, wondrous living beings that they are than as, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right, and they're very forgiving considering what they've seen and what they've experienced, because I've managed to meet some animals at farm sanctuaries, and they're very loving, and they cuddle, and they seek affection, just like dogs and cats with whom we, you know, we're used to frolicking. So
that's really true, Bob. You know, one of the things that struck Jenny and I in the course of making the film, you know, we had a lot of personal experiences with these farm animals and hadn't had a lot prior to making the film. And one of the ironies that struck us was actually that because the farm animals have been, you know, selectively bred for a certain kind of temperament, they actually have a temperament that is exceptionally trusting, exceptionally friendly, and it actually makes their treatment all the more heinous in a way, because they are such innocence in them and such friendliness if they're, you know, given half a chance. And it just breaks your heart when you realize their actual character makes it easy to exploit them.
Mm. That also goes for dogs in animal experimentation. I've seen advertisements for dogs and their affectionate disposition as reason to purchase them to use in animal experimentation, which is bizarre.
It's bizarre and unbelievable. Beagles, for example, are, you know, amongst the friendliest of all critters, you know, and they just are so joyful and friendly. And then, you know, the whole idea that people would say yes, and that makes them excellent subjects, you know, for experiments where we will harm them and put them in cages and they won't give us any trouble.
Mm.
It's really, it's a terrible thing.
That it is. Well, we'll be seeing Peaceable Kingdom this coming Saturday, kind of a matinee at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q. It's 2210 Lincoln Boulevard. And you have a screening in San Francisco also on Friday?
That's correct, Bob. We have a premiere event in San Francisco at the Herbst Theater on the 30th of July, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And any of your listeners that have friends in Northern California, have them go to animalcompassion.org and they can get ticketing information for going to this event. We have Alicia Silverstone, who's going to be hosting the event, and we will have five subjects of the film, along with Jenny and I, will be there. So the audience will have a chance to meet us and the subjects of the film and have a Q&A session afterwards.
So
I think it'd be a great event.
And also on our website, there's a button to click where people can get an e-invitation to send to their friends. If people in San Francisco want to help spread the word, that would be great. We're trying to get another full house. We had the standing room only in our Manhattan premiere and in our Los Angeles premiere. And we hope we can do the same in San Francisco and just send the message that this is an issue whose time has come and there's interest in this. And
you want them to go to tribeofheart.org?
Tribeofheart.org or animalcompassion.org,
okay.
Same website.
All right. And so how did this come about? You're doing a series of documentaries. This is the second one. First was The Witness. This is Peaceable Kingdom. How did this series come about?
Well, basically, I think like a lot of people who get involved in a social justice cause, we didn't really go out seeking this. It sort of came to us in the sense that we had been vegetarians for ethical reasons for many years, but that was really the extent of our participation or activism. And then we saw a documentary called Man vs. Animal, To Love or Kill on HBO, and the documentary explored the irony of the fact that in different countries, different animals have privileged status. So an animal that is considered a companion in the United States, such as a dog or a cat, might be eaten as food in Asia. And it sort of, the documentary really asked the question of, you know, how do we as human beings explain this fact that we very arbitrarily attribute status to one kind of animal and then downgrade the status of another animal when all over the world it's different animals? And it really sent a wake up call, and we felt like we had to do something.
Sure.
And, well, that's how it started.
Well, you know, and perhaps some people might have a question as to why our event this coming Saturday has in its name Dream of Peace Veggie Q. And really, when you come down to it, the only peaceful meal upon which we can all agree and sit down would be that which is vegetarian. Because if we were indeed serving cow burgers at this meal, anybody, you know, from India might be offended by that. We could be serving, it could be a luau and we could have pig there, but Muslims and Jews would be offended by that. Perhaps we could have had a Korean restaurant from Korea, cater it, and there would be dog and cat on the menu, and perhaps many Americans would be offended by that. And then any other animal would offend the vegetarians and vegans. So the only meal that's really the peace meal where we can all sit around and live in peace is a vegetarian meal. So that's what we will have this coming Saturday. And we have chili cheeseburgers, so there's an alternative to everything. You have nothing to sacrifice by giving up animal products and animal food. So what's the next movie then? What's the next documentary in the series of four?
Well, as we go along with these films, we're exploring different topics within the exploitation of animals, and we're also exploring different social issues or different kind of philosophical levels of the issue. So the first film was the journey of an individual. The second film was a community portrait. The third film, we're starting to go to the societal level. And we're interested in, particularly in the great apes and some of the things that have befallen them, under human exploitation. And we're going to be exploring the issue of prejudice and how it is that we as human beings separate out some other group, whether it be a human group or another species, label them as other, and then once they've been so labeled, commit all kinds of acts and we don't feel obligated to apply the same ethics to these others as we do to those we consider our in-group. And that's sort of the direction that we're going in that film. It's still very much at the early stages.
Mm-hmm. But Peaceable Kingdom is completed.
Peaceable Kingdom is completed, and it's out there. We recently had a very interesting thing happen where Paul Harvey, who's a well-known radio host, mentioned Peaceable Kingdom and on his show and made it available to several hundred people, actually, who called in and got a copy from him. And we sent some surveys out to these folks, and it was a very interesting group of people out in the heartland. You know, people not normally exposed to, you know, alternative philosophies, alternative diets, and their response to the film was incredible.
Oh, really?
It was really interesting. The survey respondents, 82% of them said that they found viewing the film a worthwhile experience. 76% said they would encourage others to see the film. And I wanted to share a couple comments that came in that I think are very interesting because it goes back to the themes of Peaceable Kingdom, of people who grew up in rural culture, in farm culture, who experienced the reality of animal exploitation, and then seeing the film reminded them of some of their experiences. This one person wrote, this was a 69-year-old person from Lake Clan, Florida, and he said, 60 years ago as a child, I witnessed most of the scenes shown in the film. The annual hog butchering, my grandparents laying the neck of a chicken on a block of wood, chipping off of the head, then leaving the chicken to flop around in the ground until it bled to death. As long as man has been on this earth, animals have been raised for food. Do I enjoy watching the way animals are being raised to provide food for man, how they are treated, the sight of the slaughter? Absolutely not, he says. Another person, a woman from Phoenix, Arizona, said that, you know, the film really brought home to her how cruel the meat industry is. And then she had a memory. She said, I grew up around the corner from a slaughterhouse in Baltimore. The movie brought back the cries of the animals I remember hearing in the middle of the night. And
you know, this brings up a theme that is something that I've always struggled with, is this idea that we're told life is cruel, but does it have to be? I mean, that's really the part in our childhood, I think, where innocence is lost when... you're told, for me, it was that we have to eat meat, you know, that's just the way it is, life is cruel. And the big revelation for me was when I found out I didn't have to eat meat.
That you can think for yourself?
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, there weren't really any vegetarians, so the minute I heard that they existed, it was, you know, that was it for me. But
they try to keep us a secret because it is contagious.
Right. this idea that you don't have to create suffering in order to live a happy life, right?
Right. I mean, that's the whole joy of being vegan, is that we're not participants. We're not saying, yeah, go slit somebody's throat so I can eat right now. And a little bit later in the show, I'm going to unfortunately report on an undercover video that PETA took at a plant processes chickens for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it's very cruel, and... I'm not paying them to rip birds' beaks off or split them in half while they're alive, you know. So
yeah,
I'm not happy it's happening to them, but I'm not a participant, you know.
Right,
and that's really the thing, I think, that in our country right now, this is one of the things that has really disempowered us as individuals, is that we've been sold this idea that our true identity is that of consumers, that's the highest potential of a human being is to be a consumer. And you know, people everywhere are starting to get interested again in this idea of being a citizen, and not just a citizen of one country, but of the world, and, you know, to sort of be responsible on behalf of those who are vulnerable, the children, the animals, the environment. And
quit placing the blame on these institutions that create the suffering, because people are buying products from those institutions. So the blame, you know, if people really want to stop it, they stop the demand.
Right. Well, I'm not buying anything from Procter & Gamble. I'm not buying Iams dog food, that's for sure. So, yeah. Okay, we're going to see Peaceable Kingdom this coming Saturday. And it's available to the public? Should the public be trying to get copies to do screenings, their own screenings? What?
Absolutely, Bob. The way this is a film that is going to be very difficult for us to get broadcast, not because audiences don't really love it when they see it, but because there are a lot of commercial interests, such as the meat industry, that don't like to see this message get out. So we're relying on the people. The people are carrying the message. So people can go to our website at tribeofheart.org or animalcompassion.org. And you can buy copies of the film for $20. And people are holding screenings all over the country and changing things in their community, changing people's lives by letting them see for themselves the reality not only of how animals are being harmed, but also what it feels like when you see animals in distress and animals who are being harmed being rescued and being nursed back to health and living, you know, healthy lives. And, you know, when people see that choice and they see that there's this horror that we're participating in unknowingly, And then there's this other gentle, beautiful world that we can be a part of creating. I don't think that anybody looks at the horror and says, yeah, I want to be a part of creating that. We all want to be in a gentle, beautiful world. And the film helps people see that that's a real choice. We could have that world.
We could have that peaceable kingdom?
We could have a peaceable kingdom, and it's as easy as just saying no. No more participation, no more giving money to people who just propagate institutional cruelty.
Well, I'm saying yes to all the great alternatives that are out
right.
there.
Right, like all the companies and products that you have available through your show and you help people learn about, this is part of creating a peaceable world, is helping companies that aren't going to be a part of injustice and suffering, helping them prosper and develop the alternative, which will, you know, hopefully not, before not too long, be mainstream.
Sure. Well, that's the idea, and it's I'm wondering what's taken it so long. You know, there needs to be eco-commerce, you know, and cruelty-free commerce, and, well, here we are making it happen, I guess.
Right. So. I mean, yeah, you're a pioneer. The show is a pioneering effort, and I think the thing that we know is that for major change to happen, the viable alternative has to be fully developed so that when people, I mean, it's wonderful for us when we show people Peaceable Kingdom and they say, I want to stop participating. You know, what do I eat? What do I cook? There's all these great cookbooks. There are all these great food products. And people realize they don't have to give anything up in terms of enjoying themselves. All the hard work of people developing the alternative is the key to us being able to make change happen. Because if people realize that the alternative is real and that this is actually a more natural way of eating and that it suits our bodies and it suits the earth, Then you know, it's just a matter of the public learning the truth, and then they're going to switch.
Hey, we're going to have chili cheeseburgers this Saturday. So there. we don't miss anything. So James Levesque, Jenny Stein, Tribe of Heart, thank you so much for the movies you're making, Peaceable Kingdom. This is a great one. And this is people are really going to enjoy it this coming Saturday. It's a movie of healing, of hope. And I think people will go away with a very positive message. So thanks for the work that you're contributing to to Compassion for Animals.
Thank you, Bob. We love your show. You do great work, and you're a pioneer.
Well, thank you. Right back at you. Okay, thanks so much for being here. And let me continue to tell you about what you will experience this coming Saturday. You, of course, will see Peaceable Kingdom that a little later on in the afternoon when you come out to our Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace VeggieQ. We can celebrate. Oh, should we be listening to Sar's music as we... A little Sar Amiel, he'll be playing there that day as we celebrate peace and people and animals and earth with food and music and celebs and mingling and the great speakers out there. And it's this Saturday. Come on out. Doors open 11:30. We go till 5:30, 2210 Lincoln Boulevard at Victoria, a block north of Venice Boulevard. And what a fun and healthy way to spend a Saturday afternoon. And don't be surprised if you hear about new ways to save your family's health, your life maybe, the lives of animals, maybe even the planet itself. No small task, I know, yet all you have to do is enjoy the food and enjoy the entertainment. All ages welcome. All this for a suggested benefit donation of $10. What you can afford. A benefit for GoVeganRadio.com, a project of 501c3. Nonprofit Public Charity International Humanities Center. So we will be doing lunch, as I mentioned, chili cheeseburgers, 100% vegan, thanks to Follow Your Heart Marketing Cafe, Canoga Park, and vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. We also have many vegan hot dogs coming off the grill, too. And as I said, this is a grill that has never touched meat. We will have GMO-free wheat utensils from earthwarebiodegradables.com. So those will be the utensils that we have there. And so we'll have lunch. We have great food coming our way from Vegan Express and Vegan Terra and Vegetable Delight Restaurant. And what do we have? We have pate from Real Food Daily, dessert coming from Native Foods, and Fabes Natural Bakery providing dessert also. So it's just going to be a blast. We have great speakers there. Let's see, it's going to be hosted up in San Francisco when they're doing the screening. They have Alicia Silverstone up there, huh? You get Bob Linden as your MC here. And we're going to have some fun. Oh, I should be on around 12:45, 1 o'clock. At 1:15, we have scheduled Cynthia Foster, MD, on Growing Kids Vegan. She's an author, and she cured herself of epilepsy by going vegan. At about 2:30, Dr. Richard DeAndrea, MD, ND, who was just on 48 hours related to detoxifying, integrative medicine, and health in the black community. He introduced vegan eating to the Watts community. Oh, we have actress Pamela Ferdin, the voice of Lucy in Peanuts specials, and she was Tony Randall's daughter on The Odd Couple and some Star Trek. And Pamela Ferdin will be talking at, 3:45 on saving animals' lives in L.A. Pounds. So just a lot of great food. I expect to see you there. We'll have GT's Kombucha and Synergy Elixirs, Raw Balance Carabels. I think I just deputized somebody to do a big raw organic salad. Thanks to Rudy's Organic Bakery in Colorado for the vegan buns that we'll be having there. Co-Opportunity, thank you. Co-Opportunity Santa Monica, Wild Oats Santa Monica for your donation. So it's going to be a blast. We'll have the PETA screening at about 1 p.m. Chew on this, the new PETA video. And about 4 p.m., we will start Peaceable Kingdom, about which we were just talking. Special presentation, Project ACE, Animals, Children, Environment, the exciting new fundraising plan for progressive organizations to help them afford to meet the goals of their mission statements. So we'll have that there. And we'll also have information on the most important health discovery of the 21st century. I'll be talking about it in a little bit here, too. Himalayan goji juice. Himalayan goji juice. You'll get the scoop on it at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q. You can go to the website www.govegan.freelife.com. www.govegan.freelife.com to find out about this incredible discovery from the Himalayas that, goji means happy. It's the happy berry. And for prevention, for treatment of disease, this seems to be quite remarkable. We will hear the wonderful music also of Sar Amiel, who is with the Manhattans. He is Whitney Houston's spiritual advisor. That's the music we hear in the background right now. He'll be there at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q this Saturday. Suggested donation, $10. See you there. Doors open 11:30, and it's 2210 Lincoln Boulevard at Victoria, one block north of Venice Boulevard. Take the 10 West, exit Lincoln, and go left, or take Venice Boulevard West. When you get to Lincoln, make a right, and we are going to have a blast. So see you there. I see 6.5-month-old Noah will be there, his first vegan event. We have a couple coming from the 805 area celebrating their 27th anniversary, so just bring all your friends. Come on out. We're going to have a good time. I want to thank Shalom Printing for doing the flyers, and if you're with an animal rights group or a vegetarian organization, you can get an extra special discount for the good work you do by having your printing job done by Shalom Printing. You can email Shalom Printing, shalomprinting@aol.com, shalomprinting@aol.com. You can find Shalom Printing on Ventura Boulevard, just east of the 405 in Sherman Oaks at Noble, okay? And for information on what's going on with animals around the Southern California area, make sure you go to the Southern California Animal Rights Hotline. That is 310-572-6443, 310-572-6443 for the hotline. As I said, the circus is traveling about and is at the sports arena, LA Sports Arena today, heading to Arrowhead Pond and heading to San Diego to be met by constant protests, we certainly hope, because, now we have a dead lion as a result of the neglect, apparently, of Ringling Brothers. So what can I tell you on that? Let's see here. Shall we do our break? Yes. Let us do our break before we do Animal News and Views. As we listen to Sar Amiel.
You can depend on me.
I'll watch over you. Somebody trying to catch you sleep. Red Riding Hood don't stand a chance.
I'm always talking about how delicious Vegemaize is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Vegemaize. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Vegemaize? Or a tofu burger with Vegemaize? Oh, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Vegemaize in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Vegemaize in a book about stroke prevention. Yet, there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Weber's MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Vegemaize, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere.
Well, not that long ago, a popular Asian restaurant in the San Diego area closed down, leaving vegans asking, now where do we go for great vegan Chinese food in the San Diego area? Well, maybe you don't know about San Diego's best-kept vegan secret. It's the special vegan menu at Mandarin China Restaurant. It's a San Diego favorite since 1980 at 4110 West Point Loma Boulevard, convenient to the sports arena and OB areas. Check out the special menu at Mandarin China Restaurant. At the top of the page, it says, this is a strict vegetarian menu. No animal products are used in any of the dishes or in their preparation. No MSG added. And then you see three appetizers, four soups, eight vegan mock chicken dishes, 10 vegan mock beef dishes, and 15 vegetable and noodle dishes. Vegetarian dinner just $7.95 per person at Mandarin China Restaurant. Open till 10, Sunday through Thursday till 11, Friday and Saturday. Delivery available. Call 619-222-6688. 619-222-6688. That is Mandarin China Restaurant, 4110 West Point Loma Boulevard.
Milk has blood in it. It's a great drink for vampires!
Well, that is for sure. Oh, one of the great raffle prizes that you will be able to win this coming Saturday at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q. We will be giving away footwear. We will be giving away the new Earth Vegan footwear, which will be on display. You'll be able to purchase a pair if you so desire, with a donation from that purchase going to support this here radio show. And I don't know, must have been back in the 70s. I had my Earth shoes, you know, with that famous negative heel technology. It's the Calso negative heel technology developed by the Danish yoga master Anne Calso, which promotes a natural way of walking. So natural that you'll feel like you're walking barefoot in the sand. Your head is straight, your shoulders roll back, your spine and pelvis align, breathing and balance improve, toes spread out and relax, back pain disappears. All this from wearing wonderful Earth Vegan footwear made of soft, breathable, simulated leather uppers and linings, adjustable hooks and loop straps at the forefront and ankle, a giving elasticized heel. Oh, you will just love these shoes, and they are vegan certified by the Vegan Society of the UK. Vegan casuals for men and women. Check them out. You'll check them out at our event this coming Saturday when we see you in Venice. You can also go to the website, earthvegan.us, earthvegan.us, or call 877-746-3364, 877-746-3364. What are your shoes? Aren't your shoes made out of leather? No, they're not. They're Earth Vegan. Okay, we continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I do want you to know about the new Himalayan goji berry juice. Looks like this could be the key to longevity. In his new book, Goji, the Himalayan Health Secret, Dr. Earl Mindell reveals a longevity secret that redefines the meaning of healthy aging. The secret has been the key to long life for thousands of years among the people in remote areas across Asia. Their energy, mental agility, and overall vitality in old age have confounded scientists for decades, and now you know the secret. It is the amazing Himalayan goji juice that you can get by going to the website www.govegan.freelife.com. And, there are 34 reasons on one of the brochures for going for goji juice. One, extending life. Two, increasing energy. Three, feeling and looking younger. Four, maintaining healthy blood pressure. Five, reducing your risk of cancer. Six, reducing cholesterol. Seven, promoting normal blood sugar and early adult onset diabetes. Eight, enhances sexual function and treats sexual dysfunction. Nine, helps you lose weight. 10, relieves headaches and dizziness. 11, relieves insomnia and improves quality of sleep. 12, supports eye health and improves your vision. 13, strengthens your heart. 14, inhibits lipid peroxidation, a cause of heart disease. 15, improves disease resistance. It just goes on and on. We will be talking about it in the weeks to come. Dr. Earl Mindell will be on this show within the first couple of weeks of September, but I invite you to check it out. Go to the website, www.govegan, G-O-V-E-G-A-N, Go Vegan. I should be able to spell that by now. So it's www.govegan.freelife, freelife.com. It's a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you can drink the goji juice for 90 days if for any reason you're not satisfied. Get your money back. But check it out. Try it out. People are having amazing results with it. So let us do Animal News and Views right now, which is brought to you by Indefensive Animals, who will have a table at this Saturday's Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q at the Venice United Methodist Church, 2210 Lincoln Boulevard. Well, world-class professional athlete Eric Haar and Indefensive Animals have joined together to promote animal compassion. Eric is embarking on an athletic endeavor entitled The Ultimate Challenge, Indefensive Animals. Throughout this year, he's traveling the globe to compete in 10 famous sporting events while gaining corporate sponsors in the process, trying to raise money, trying to raise millions for Indefensive Animals in its quest to help animals. Go to the website, IDAUSA.org, IDAUSA.org, for Indefensive Animals. See how you can be a part of this team and come out this Saturday. Say hi to Bill Dyer from Indefensive Animals. Moving on to Animal News and Views, and I'll just go through it till we're out of time here. From Charleston, West Virginia, a report from the Associated Press, the headline, Poultry Plant Fires 11 After Abuse Video. By the way, tune in next week. We'll show you how your activism might win you $5,000. Okay, the headline here, Poultry Plant Fires 11 After Abuse Video. Pilgrim's Pride, a chicken-killing supplier to K-killing F4C Cash KFC, fired 11 workers on Wednesday after PETA released an undercover video Tuesday of Pilgrim's Pride workers at the West Virginia plant kicking, stomping, and smashing the birds against the wall, all part of your food preparation process if you patronize Chicken Capital USA. Now, can't the poor innocent birds just have their throats slashed in peace so their little bodies can tempt you to lick your fingers? Well, apparently not, because eyewitness testimony says before the bucket, the birds endure employees ripping their beaks off, twisting their heads off, spray painting their faces, spitting tobacco into their beaks and eyes, and breaking them in half, all while the birds are alive and feeling, all part of the recipe for K killing F4C cash. Yes, I'll take an order of your delicious spray-painted tobacco spat beak ripped off broken in half chicken, please. Pittsfield, Texas is the base for Pilgrim's Pride, who fired 3 managers and 8 hourly workers and said it was adding quality assurance monitors at the West Virginia plant and directing managers at 24 of its other concentration death camps around North America, notifying managers to make their animal welfare policies known. Yes, we hug and kiss the little baby chicks. We love her so much until we slit her throat. We must slit her throat, of course. That's what all KFC customers pay us to do. They don't pay us to love the little baby chicks. PETA and HSUS want the abusive managers and workers charged with animal cruelty. A felony animal cruelty conviction in West Virginia could lock them up for 1 to 3 years. If you want to look into the mind of a slaughterhouse worker and how his job affects him and the usual alcoholism and domestic abuse often associated, well, I suggest that you read a book called Slaughterhouse by Gail Eisnitz, E-I-S-N-I-T-Z. Well, chaining dogs is bad for the dogs and very bad for the children who approach them, and it is often a fatal encounter. Dogs are pack animals, and if they are kept chained and away from socialization, they become frightened and angry and often take it out on the children who approach them. There's a national petition to ban dog chaining. To find out, go to dogsdeservebetter.com, dogsdeservebetter.com. As previously mentioned on this show, Ocean Hills Country Club in Vista is initiating a coyote extermination plan. For information on actions in opposition to such extermination, contact San Diego Animal Advocates. The website is animaladvocates.org. Also, you can email david@vegsandiego.com, david@vegsandiego.com. And wanted to tell you about this intensive animal farming. Let's see, where did this come from? From EnviroLink, is that where I got this? Let's see, Planet Ark, Washington Times carried. Intensive farming of animals is making food less nutritious and increasing the risk of diseases spreading from animals to humans. A group of international scientists has warned that moving animals from grass-based feed to the predominantly grain-based feed used for intensive farming may eventually lead to widespread mental illness among people. The researchers say that using grain-based feed results in relatively higher levels of omega-6 lipids in humans compared to omega-3 lipids. One scientist said of the finding, "We are facing a health crisis more serious and more dangerous than that posed by obesity in the West. Elevated levels of omega-6s and lower levels of omega-3s are linked to depression and behavior issues. And there is nothing more depressing than eating meat." But we'll have none of that this coming Saturday at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q. See you there. Thanks for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You can make a tax-deductible donation, make it payable to Go Vegan, and send it to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. I thank you for listening, and I will see you Saturday at the Venice United Methodist Church for our Veggie Q.